Today, I want to pick up on what we were doing last week. Last week, we talked about the scorner, and I was going to move this morning on into the 10th chapter and just begin to do verse by verse, and I got right into the 10th chapter, verse number 1, and it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Here we are again into this description of wise children and foolish children and so on. And we need to just take the time to look at some of these broad examples of the types of people that we're going to be looking at in the Proverbs. Last week, as I said, we talked about the scorner and the characteristics of the scorner and how to deal with such a person and what the reward or the consequences of that kind of lifestyle is. Today, I'd like to take two others, if we have the time to do it. I'd like to take the simple person. We've already talked about the simple at some length as we've gone along, but I'd like to take a few moments and review that, perhaps look at a couple of other things that we have not seen. And then I'd like to look today at the fool. I'd like to do the simple and the fool, if we can do so in 40 minutes or so. First of all, let's look at the simple person. Primarily, we're going to be looking at the Proverbs. Some of these, in the interest of time, we'll not look up every verse, but I'll give you the verse as I read it, and then you can mark it down and look it up later, or you can try to look it up as we go along. When we talk about the simple person, the word simple that's used here in the Hebrew to describe this kind of person is basically the word means silly, but it is the kind of silly that is seducible or innocent, easily deluded, easily allured and deceived and enticed, a person who's easily flattered or persuaded, easily influenced and led astray. That's the simple person. His heart and his motivations are not evil. He's just gullible and he's easily swayed by someone else. He is basically naive. And that would be a good synonym for a person who is described in the Word of God as a simple person. Now, some of the characteristic qualities of this kind of an individual and how you may discern him or how you may discern yourself if you're in this condition is that in Proverbs 1:22, the scripture says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity?" We saw last week, it's the very same verses, "How long will you scorners delight in your scorning?" Simple people don't seem to be terribly concerned about being anything other than simple. They seem to like it that way. And they seem to enjoy not having to make decisions and not having to make value judgments. They like the fact that they can be all things to all people, and they are kind of like chameleons, as it were. When they're on a tree trunk, they're gray-black, and when they're on a leaf, they're green. And wherever they are, they seem to be able to adjust. When they're in Buffalo, they do as the Buffalonians do. When they're in Rome, they do as the Romans do. When they're at home, they do like mom and dad do. And when they're in school, they do like the kids do. And so these kinds of folks are in that condition. They love simplicity. Proverbs 7:7 says, "And I beheld among the simple ones and discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding." A simple person is a person who is void of understanding. He does not have understanding. Therefore, he doesn't know how to make appropriate value judgments. Proverbs 8:5 says, "O ye simple, understand wisdom." And so the inference there is that he has not yet garnered wisdom. He has not yet appropriated any wisdom. That's why he's still simple. Now, the cure for a simple person is to gain wisdom and gain understanding. Otherwise, he will remain in that condition. Proverbs 14:15 is a very insightful verse. You might turn there and look at this one together, because this really nails the simple person. This will nail a person, whether he be young or old, whether he be a child, a young adult, or an older person, as to whether he or she is simple. Proverbs 14:15. "The simple believeth every word, no matter how inane it might be, and no matter how wild it may seem. The simple believes every word." This is what happens. This is why that individual is moved from place to place very easily. Because if a wise person were to speak to him and give him words of wisdom and understanding, he would respond to that positively. But then when you get him in a group of fools, he'll believe all those words too. And so you can have You see, this is the way this kind of situation, this situation works. You have a person who is in the hospital, for example, and we've been talking about hospital work here this morning. You have somebody who's in the hospital and an individual, an elder perhaps, or someone in the congregation or the pastor will go see that person and stay the night with him, spend the night through, pray with him, share the word, minister to them, go home in the morning and clean the house and look after the family and just provide for the people, provide for the individual. And then several weeks later, someone else will tell that person who was sick but is now whole that the individual who ministered to them so graciously and so selflessly has done something, untoward or something that is inappropriate. And the person who's just been ministered to so graciously will just accept that accusation without any other thought. Will just listen to it. And this is oftentimes you've seen this happen where you've touched somebody's life and you know they were grateful. You know that they appreciated what you did. But a couple of weeks later, something is said about you that individual believes about you. And you say, how on earth could she believe that? Where is her mind? How could she accept that kind of thing? And that's a person who is simple because they believe every word. And whoever talked to them last is the one whose side she's on, if I can use that terminology. You understand the idea there? And so this is how you can tell these kind of people. They believe everything and everything. Romans 16 and 18 says about those who don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ but their own belly, that they use good words and fair speeches, and by them they deceive the hearts of the simple. So simple people are easily deceived, and there are those who are even in the body of Christ who are in this foolish category or in this scorning category, who because of their fair words and their good speeches are able to deceive the simple. And they gather these simple people around them, and they're the ones who are destroyed. The picture that you see is a picture of a wolf in sheep's clothing destroying the innocent little lambs who are not able to distinguish the difference between a real sheep and a wolf that has a sheep's costume on. Proverbs 9 and 4 says that a simple person is one that wanteth understanding. In other words, lacks understanding. Now, the consequences or the reward to the simple is not very promising as long as he remains simple. For Proverbs 1 and 32 says, the turning away of the simple shall slay them. That a simple person who does not surround himself with wise, but rather turns away from wisdom and turns away from understanding, will eventually be his undoing, and eventually it will destroy him. A simple person will either become wise or he'll be destroyed. Psalm 116:6 says, the Lord preserveth the simple. There's time given for that simple person to make the appropriate value judgments so that he does not go the wrong direction. The simple inherit folly. If he remains that way, folly will be in his inheritance, folly and destruction. Proverbs 22 and 3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So a wise man or a prudent man will be able to see evil, turn away from it, hide himself from it. But a simple person believes every word and he just walks right into it with both feet and he's slap dab in the middle of it, and he will be punished for that, or he will suffer the loss that comes with that kind of silly and stupid behavior. Now, how do you deal with a simple person when you've identified one? If you're in a situation where you have oversight over a group of people, regardless of what level that may be, how do you deal with the simple? How do you help them? And how do you protect them? Simple people need protection. They need preservation, or ultimately they're going to be destroyed. Proverbs 1, 3, and 4 says, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment in equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. The way you deal with the simple primarily is by instruction. You teach him. Remember, a simple person believes every word. So you be sure and give him the right words. Now, if you fill him with the right words, you know what will occur? He become wise. A simple person is not confirmed in foolishness. He'll dabble in it because he believes every word. And the devil knows who simple people are too, and he will sucker them. Do you understand what I mean by the word sucker? And he will sucker them. He'll play them for suckers. But if the way you deal with simple people is you instruct them, you diligently give them instruction in wisdom, in justice, in judgment, in equity. And you know what that'll do? It'll give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. So you can develop a simple person. Primarily, that's what the whole book of Proverbs is about, is dealing with the young who are at that stage of their life, generally simple. You deal with them by teaching them. You give them the word of God, instruct them, and that word will produce in them subtlety, knowledge, and instruction. Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." What do you teach them? "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Now, if you want to make the simple wise, you must teach them. You must give them instruction. And what you teach them is not old wives' tales. You teach them truth. Because the simple believes every word. You don't teach them lies. You teach them the truth. And the truth is the word of God. The testimony of the Lord is certain and sure, and it will make the simple wise. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple." You say, "Well, I don't understand what I read." It will give you understanding. Whether you understand what you read or not, understanding will become yours. The simple can become wise, but the only way that will occur is by diligent instruction in the Word of God. And then two other things, one other method of dealing with the simple is actually involved in dealing with the scorner. We saw it last week. Since the simple believes every word, you not only have to instruct the simple with the word of God, you must also do the best you can to remove the wrong words from the simple. This is why moms and dads, your children, you want to choose your children's friends and their playmates. This is why. You don't want your children just playing with any old person that they choose to play with. Kids are not generally very wise in choosing their playmates. They will choose the playmates whereby they have the most fun. And oftentimes the fun things that kids want to do are carnal in nature rather than spiritual. And you get into a lot of trouble searching after fun and choosing your playmates on the basis of fun. Actually, if children were wise enough to choose their own associations alone, then the Lord would not have put them in your care for 20 years. People would be like animals. You'd nurse them for 6 weeks or 6 months, and then they're on their own. But kids aren't like cows or dogs or goats. They're different. And it takes longer than that. You can't just nurse them until the point where they're able to get their own food and then cut them loose. You must assist them in choosing their own playmates. You must know where they are and who they're playing with and what they're doing. You must know what kinds of children you're inviting into your home. The same thing is true as your children get older. You've got to know when your girl goes riding with someone else, what kind of a driver the other girl is. You know? Now, I don't know what kind of a situation this was last week. I don't mean to make an inference there. But all I'm saying to you is that you don't want your child riding with somebody who finished last week second at Talladega. Yeah, I mean, you've got to exercise some wisdom there. And if your child is not yet instructed in wisdom, then you're going to have to do that. Now, the Proverbs 19:25 says this, "Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware." Proverbs 21:11 says, "When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise." And the inference there is that when you have both in the same group, that you must deal with the scorner, otherwise you're going to lose the simple. If you allow the scorner to continue to function, and you allow he or she to continue to operate unfettered or unchallenged, then all of the simple who are part of that group will be perverted and destroyed because of it. Now, this is precisely what is going on in the majority of our public school classrooms right now. In the public school classrooms, you have mostly simple children. You'll have a couple of wise, maybe, and you'll have a couple of scorner, probably. But the majority of them will be simple. Now, because the teacher has no rod, and because punishment is not ministered suddenly on those that need it, then it is set in the heart of men, according to Ecclesiastes, to do evil. And so when the simple sit there and they watch the wise and they watch the scorner. The scorner is obviously having more fun. I mean, according to the lusts of man and the lusts of the natural man, the scorner is having a lot more fun, and he's getting away with that. See, there's no punishment. You don't smite him. So what happens to the simple? He believes every word, and he becomes just like him, doesn't he? Now, you put him in a classroom where the teacher takes that scorner out and puts a half a dozen licks on his rump. Now, what will happen to the simple? They'll get wise, won't they? I mean, you get wise quick. But now, see, if you don't put your children in that kind of an environment, if you put your children in an environment where scorning is permitted, and because it's permitted, it is fostered, then your children are going to come home and scorn you. And they're going to come home and scorn their brothers and sisters, and they're going to come home and scorn the neighbors, and they're going to become those kinds of kids. Because the simple will believe every word, and children, the majority of children, are simple. They're being formed, right? So you must be very careful about that. You don't think your child maybe would have any problems, but it's an unusual child who is able to go into that kind of an environment and come out wise. It's an unusual child that would occur. Now, you may have an unusual child, but if you do, thank God for it. On the other hand, beware. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. Okay. Anybody want to comment on the simple? Ask about or comment? Yes, Judy.
Toward the end of the year, sent a note home asking us, telling us that Travis needed some help in his reading. And she suggested over and over, emphasized that we have them read the Word. Well, I confess that I didn't, in building the house and getting caught up in things, I did not keep that up with Travis. And we've had a few small problems with some things come up with him. And so finally, something happened to mine. And that just, that was it. I thought, you are not going to lie. I will not have a lie for someone. And I told him, I said, I will not. You are not. That's not within you. And it will not stay. But anyway, I finally took that word from Libba, which was faith from the Lord, to have him read the word. And I had him read the word every day. Every morning, starting the morning round, reading. And after a week, I could see such difference. Mm-hmm. And I see where these tendencies to be simple, tendencies to be a scorner, all these bad tendencies, I can see them just, going away. And mm-hmm. that word going, it's putting in light, knowledge, just all the good things. Mm-hmm. And that other scholars mm-hmm. that's trying to hang on to him, and it will not.
I think many of us, Judy, are hesitant to force the children because some of us don't understand what we read when we read the Word. And we think, well, how can they understand it? But it's not what you understand with your mind. Your spirit, whether it's a little spirit or a big spirit, whether it's a 2-year-old spirit or a 22-year-old spirit, the spirit of man is responsive to the Word of God. We have scientific evidence now that tells us that babies in the womb respond to the Word of God. And that simply confirms what we've already seen in the first chapter of Luke, where John the Baptist leaped at the presence of the living Word of God in the womb of Mary. And so we know that the Word of God ministers to human spirits, whether they are still in the womb or whether they, no matter how old. And so the reading of the Word of God to the children while they're still in the womb, while they're babies, while they're Travis's age, even though he doesn't understand, Mom, I do not understand this. I'm not getting anything out of it. Yes, you are, son. The word of God does not return to him empty or void. Yes, you're getting something, but I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. Understanding is not what you're getting out of it today. You're getting something else out of it today. Now read it. Maybe you won't read it, you read it to him. Because the word of God is not without power. Everywhere Jesus went, he spoke with authority, and there was power in his word. Kathy Black.
Out of the word of God about the simple, and because I had a sister who was led astray out of the body by a wolf and has affected a lot of other people, and I have prayed and interceded for her, and the Lord told me, showed me this scripture, and it says, "Woe be to the wicked who leadeth the righteous astray in an evil way, for they'll be destroyed." But it says, "But the righteous will have a goodly inheritance."
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord told me that about her, and he's going to deliver them. He knows that he knows their hearts, and God looks upon the heart, and these wolves can deceive the simple, and they can look like us, walk like us, they can like us, they can dance like us, but they are wolves in their heart. And why would they need to have on sheep's clothing? You know, wolves, they put on sheep's clothing. Why would they do that if they didn't have it in their hearts to deceive and lead astray? They don't come to us openly because we could recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
They sneak in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that really bothered me about her because I love her so dearly. And the Lord just gave me that hope and that promise about her that he was going to deliver her out
mm-hmm.
of that. He said he's going to break that unclean relationship
mm-hmm.
and draw her back. And I prayed.
Well, I think many of us can identify with that, Kathy, from this standpoint, that from when we were children, how many of you, when you were children, because of your simplicity and because you were gullible and naive, were drawn into situations that if you stayed in them, that they would have ultimately destroyed you? How many of you could admit to that? I think all of us. But somewhere along the line, wisdom is imparted to you. You've developed in wisdom. You got enough of God's word. You got around the right kind of people. You had moms and dads who cared for you. The word we shared a little earlier, the Lord preserveth the simple. I can say about myself, I know that that has to do with me, Psalm 116:6. The Lord preserveth the simple. I can look back on my life and I can tell you, you know, when I was simple and when I ran with wrong people and when I did, you know, dumb things and believed that when they said, "This is fun, do this," and, you know, not that many words, but this is really where it's at, do this. And I was simple, I did that. Now, I'm not going to do it anymore because I found out that that wasn't fun, you know, that it wasn't right, it wasn't wisdom. And I chose another way and I'm growing in wisdom. I won't make those kinds of mistakes again. I don't think, as I look at myself, it's not a matter of pride with me, but just examining, the scripture says, examine yourself to see whether you really be in the faith. We ought to know whether we're a scorner or whether we're simple or whether we're wise or whether we're fools. I consider myself a wise person. I'd put myself in that category. I think it would be atrocious for the Lord to put a fool at the head of a church and or, you know, anything other than a wise man. And while I'm not perfected in wisdom, God has given me a spirit of wisdom. He really has. And I have watched it, observed it in my own life and in my ministry. I see the change there. All right. Now, if that's true with so many of us while we're children, that just because we engaged in some of those dumb things didn't ultimately destroy us, the Lord preserved us and brought us out of that, then it is also possible for those who are 40-year-old simple people to have the same kind of change in their life. Do you understand what I mean? And just because an adult does something simple and foolish and stupid does not mean that he's consigned to that. And when we look at the fool, we've already looked at the scorner, when we look at the fool, you'll see the difference there. A simple person may do foolish things. That does not necessarily make him a fool. In the same way that a Christian may commit sin, may do things that are contrary to the wisdom and the will of God, but that does not make him a sinner. Is that right? I mean, we're saints, you see. God's called us saints. Kathy?
I have to say that some instruction the Lord gave me about that, because it might help somebody else, is that when you're dealing with somebody like that, the Lord told me to leave it alone, because that's meddling, and not to meddle with it, because he is able by his own sovereign spirit to deliver them, because he said that his arm is not short, that it cannot save and deliver, and the Lord told me to leave it alone and not meddle with it, because that's meddling with his business, and that'll hinder him, because they won't receive see what we say out of our mouths. Anyway, mm-hmm. So just leave it alone. Mm-hmm. And pray for him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Dan?
We have some 50 and 55-year-old children where I work.
Anybody want to say amen?
There's always four or five around, you know, if you lay a newspaper out, well, they'll believe every word of it and want to talk it. But you can lay this out and they scatter.
Amen.
So, like, you know, if you try to correct them on what they read in the paper and say, well, that's a scorner that wrote that article, but you really believe what a scorner says, you get an argument. But I found out you just lay the word out there, it'll speak. And once in a while, they'll look through it, but there's no argument.
Mm-hmm.
But if you try to push it, you get an argument.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, Vera.
I've discovered that even with the simple, not only are they easily led, but they're easily hurt. A scorner will say something to them, and they take it in, and they believe it, and they apply it so deeply to themselves that it can really hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a wise person to turn that around and to draw them back. And this has to be done continually with one that is simple.
Yes, a simple person is very thin-skinned. Scorners, on the other hand, are very thick-skinned. And you just can't hardly get to them in that way. When you speak to them, they do, because a scorner heareth not rebuke, the word says. And there's a searing that has gone on the inside to the degree that they're not soft. They're not soft there. It's one of the reasons why I believe that the Lord tells us in the New Testament that fathers are to be careful not to provoke their children lest they be discouraged. And you really have to be careful in disciplining your children to make sure that you're disciplining those things that need to be disciplined and not haranguing them. Because you can make your child in that condition and you can mold him into that image. That if you're on him all the time, all the time, all the time, he just, in order to preserve his own sense of self-worth, he will insulate himself against any kind of reproof and any kind of rebuke. And he will become a person who lashes out at everything and everybody. And the way it developed was he developed that attitude in order to preserve himself because he just could not handle that continual haranguing, primarily from a father, sometimes from a mother, but primarily it's fathers who are doing this. And fathers need to learn how to exercise their discipline the way God does, with compassion and with love.
Well, I think that you can make something too by choice. It's like somewhere along the line after I got saved, I realized that I was not as wise as I should be. And Chris had the spirit of wisdom too. And when I would come home with things, he would judge it and say, that's gossip and I don't want you to say that anymore. Or we're not talking about negative things in this house. It's like, even if it's true, the negative things, you're not to say it. If you can't say anything about somebody that's edifying, then don't say it at all, even if it's true. And I think when you're corrected by your husband, regardless if you think he's a wise person or not, there's wisdom for you because God's putting the leadership over you, and you can become wise by following the instruction of your husband and the word of God. And I know that I became wiser because I listened to him and because I read the word and because I remained under your teaching. And if I had something that I didn't agree with about what you taught and I didn't see it in the word the same way, I did not go and tell everybody that I disagreed with you. And I tried to get...
came to me with it.
Yeah.
No, she did. She did. Yeah. She, you know, this woman, I have her support and her assistance in the ministry, but that didn't come just overnight. You know, the Lord just didn't drop that in. She put me in some hard places from time to time. But her heart was, you know, her heart was in the right place. I always knew that.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, if you realize you have these tendencies within yourself, you can make the correction and become wise. Like, do the right things. Go to the Lord and go to the person and learn how to make an appeal and say, I don't understand this. Where are you coming from? Rather than harboring resentment and bitterness and looking for an opportunity to pick
tear
up
down.
Right, and to tear down. And even though you don't realize you're doing it at the time, it's for self-protection because you know that inside that you don't understand fully everything that you need to know. So you do it for protection at first, and then you begin
to become a scorner or whatever. You can make the choice to be simple or become wise.
How long, ye simple, will you love simplicity? That's what that verse means. Matter of choice. Ray Keith, I think I saw your hand a little earlier. Do you still have a comment you'd like to offer?
Yeah, for a long time, I thought of myself as a simple person. And finally, the Lord just showed me that you have to purpose in your heart. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, by desire, you set yourself apart and get into wisdom. And the Lord showed me that purpose in your heart is a moment-by-moment decision to choose either dwell on vanity, mm-hmm. or dwell on his
mm-hmm. moment by moment. I like that, for it's really true. You cannot just make that one time and then just drift for the rest of your life. You're making those decisions daily. The Word of God is true, or it's true, it's true, it's true, yeah. It's true, it's true, it's true. Jack, I saw your hand.
You used the word previously, naive. I'm not trying to pick on clear about this, but don't women fall more in this category than men?
Oh, yes. You have word to back you on that, sure. Peter says in 1 Peter 3:7 that the woman is the weaker sex. In 1 Timothy, Paul said, I do not permit in the churches women to exercise authority over their men for the simple reason that Eve was deceived. And so, yes, that's very true. And that's as a general rule, it's true. I have watched some marriages where I see the wife with a great deal more wisdom than her husband. Yeah. And a wise husband would yield to his wife in certain areas there, you know. But the authority is ultimately his. And he, for example, let me give you, just use this example. In some homes, the husband has delegated the financial responsibility to the wife. And by delegating the financial responsibility, I mean keeping the family budget, paying the family bills, so on and so forth. Some wives are much better at that than their husbands. It's just better, they are the better money manager in the family. But if the wife, this is what makes it wrong, when the wife takes that from her husband, you wimp, you don't know how to handle the money. We are never going to have anything. You let me do it, and I'm going to give you $14 a week, you know, for your lunches, and I'm going to take care of everything else. Now, what she's done is she has grabbed his authority, hasn't she? But see, that's wrong. And the husband who put up with that is set for a lifetime of misery. But now the husband who says, honey, I just don't have good control over this. I can't hardly balance a checkbook. If I carry money in my pocket, I just spend it. I just don't have any control. You are better at this. You know how to shop for bargains. You have better control over your emotions. You don't buy by emotions. How about you taking care? I'll bring the check home and give it to you, and you take care. That's delegation of authority. She hasn't taken his authority. He gave it to her, but he still has the authority, you see. She's administrating that for the family. That's perfectly appropriate. I find nothing wrong with that. And so there are some areas where women will have greater wisdom than the husband will. And a husband needs to yield to his wife in that area. And even where the wife doesn't have the more wisdom, all wives have some wisdom. Okay? Even though they may be the weaker and the more naive, they do have some wisdom. And it's a wise husband who would use his wife as a partner. How do you feel about that? What do you think about that? Ultimately, he's going to make the decision, but he would not be particularly wise if he just would not consider anything that his wife had to say.
Yeah. It says women rule over the house, and we've used that analogy as God owns the earth, but he's given us dominion and told us to rule over the earth. A woman is rule over the house, but only in the areas that her husband says, you take charge of this under my authority. Otherwise, she doesn't take any rule over the house except what is given to her by her husband in the same way that God says, rule the earth. It belongs to me and all the fullness thereof that I give you to me.
Delegated. That's appropriate. That's right. Ron?
If the man of the house is under the Lord and we're under God's authority, we have no problem with delegating it because we know that we're under his authority anyway. Mm-hmm. But to the lady back here, I don't remember her name, that said that she was believing in the Lord for that seat to be filled by her husband. I wanted to say how many men are sitting in this room right now because their wives believe. I'm one of them. I'm filling a seat right now because a woman believed that.
I'm sure lots of them. That's right. Yeah, Ray Keith again.
Well, this is a kind of subject for me. I'm for belief that your wife is as wise and as non-naive as you helped develop her.
Yes, that is true.
And men deserve exactly what they get in relation to how much time they put into developing your wife.
Mm-hmm. You're right, Ray. And that's very appropriate. The same with our children. And a husband is acting foolishly if he treats his wife as something less than a human being in this area and wants to keep her that way. Yeah, we do have a responsibility to develop our women the same as we do our children. Yes, good insight. Thank you. Anyone else want to comment? I think we're not going to move to the other there. We had the first bell, didn't we? All right, let's just have a word of prayer then. Next week, I want us to look at the fool. Next week, we'll examine the Proverbs on the fool.